Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would encourage us, strengthen us, teach us, challenge us, rebuke us as we have need. Amen. One of the things I love about Matthew's gospel is it's a kind of a manual for discipleship. Being a bloke, I'm not very good with looking at manuals and instruction booklets. I don't know if any of the other blokes around here are like me. When I buy a new whatever, recently it was a printer, I try to see how far I can get without looking at the manual. Till I get to the point where something goes wrong or I really can't get any further. Finally, I realise I need to look at the manual, and it would have been a lot easier if I had in the first place. Well, Matthew's gospel is kind of like an instruction manual for discipleship, and it's structured around five blocks of teaching that Jesus gives to his disciples. And in between, we walk in the shoes of Jesus' disciples with Jesus, learning the lessons of what it looks like to follow him. And if we're wise, we'll follow the manual every day in all we do, and not just try to do it by ourselves. But following Jesus is inextricably linked to knowing who Jesus is. And in the events that were read out to us, the disciples discover three things about the Jesus they're following. As we'll see, they and we are encouraged to keep our eyes on Jesus, the bread giver, the storm calmer, and the water walker. Keep our eyes on Jesus, the bread giver, the storm calmer, and the water walker. And if you wouldn't yet call yourself a follower of Jesus, I invite you with the rest of us to look at Jesus, to get to know him, to ask yourself, is this someone I want to follow? So first, Jesus, the bread giver. Jesus, the bread giver. Look at verse 13 with me. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Matthew tells us Jesus has just heard about the events we looked at last Sunday, and in particular the death of John the Baptist, the man who came to prepare the way for Jesus. And so Jesus withdraws by boat over the Sea of Galilee to a quiet place with his disciples. It's not yet time for him to face the same fate as John. But crowds of people follow him. Perhaps some have heard him teach. They've seen the healings he's done. So a great crowd gathers round him, 5,000 men, which probably means 20,000 men, women, and children. I learned this morning that you can fit 24,000 in the KCOM stadium. So we're talking pretty much the KCOM stadium being full. And we're told in verse 14, he had great compassion on the crowd and healed those who were ill. And isn't it a great encouragement to know the one we follow has compassion? He has compassion for you, whatever situation you face. He has compassion for those who live around us. Well, unfortunately, his compassion hasn't rubbed off on his disciples yet. Have a look at verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." There's a problem. We can't do anything about it. Jesus, send them away. But look at Jesus' response. Verse 16, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Jesus, you must be joking. Can you imagine being there, being one of the disciples? What are you thinking, Jesus? Have you gone mad? There are 20,000 people here. And what have we got? Five loaves and two fish. And if Jesus was one of those charlatans that we've come across over the years, then at this point he would sort of back away, wouldn't he, and get in the boat and disappear and you'd never see him again. But he doesn't. Verse 19. He told the people to sit down on the grass, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And I wonder if we can imagine the look of amazement on the disciples' faces as the first batch of bread is taken away and given out to that group over there up on the hill, and the second batch is taken to that group, and the third batch is taken to that group, and the bread just keeps coming and keeps coming. And there's no doubt that as Matthew was there seeing these events unfold, he would have thought back to the Exodus from Egypt, when God gathered his people and rescued them and miraculously provided them every day with what they needed in the wilderness. There's no doubt he wants us to look forward to a day in the future when people from every nation will be gathered at a magnificent heavenly feast. But the big thing he wants us to do is to focus on the main character, to fix our eyes on Jesus, showing himself to be God, showing himself to have compassion on the people he's created, showing himself to be the provider of abundant bread. Jesus is God, the bread giver. But we mustn't miss the fact the disciples have a part to play. Look again at verse 19. He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They're given a job, giving out what Jesus provides. He provides everything, but he involves the disciples. He brings them into partnership to share in his work. And I think as we gaze on the bread giver today, as we find encouragement that the Jesus we worship is the one who did this, there are two lessons Matthew wants us, his followers, to learn. The first is that we are utterly dependent on Christ for everything. The disciples must have been aware of this. There's this enormous crowd. There's almost no food. Where's it going to come from? It comes from Jesus, constantly dishing it out. And this is a lesson I need to learn regularly. I don't know about you. Because let's face it, we want to be in charge. In charge of our time and money, even of our Christian service. We want to set the agenda to have it on our terms. But no, the whole of life as a Christian is the opposite of this. Giving up control to Jesus, saying, I'm completely dependent on you. Everything is in your hands, at work, in the family, raising our kids, in church. Everything is in your hands, Jesus. And I find when I sometimes am forced to do that, it's amazing how he delivers. But then the other lesson is that as we do depend on him like that, he provides abundantly. As with compassion, we seek to serve our community. As we seek as a church to share the good news, he provides. That's been my experience over the past 7.5 years. God has provided. He's provided staff. He's provided money. He's provided opportunities. Just over the last couple of months, God has provided abundantly in answer to our prayers for St. Mark's Hall. He's worked through Jill King, who's been applying for lots of grants, and through others who've given generously. And just over the past few months, £30,000 has been raised. Only £10,000 remains, or slightly less, I think. And to my mind, that's a miracle. Many of us know Doug Stones. I hope we're praying for Doug as he mourns the loss of Barbara. Doug's mantra, he said it to me the other day when I visited him after Barbara died. His mantra is, God will provide. He always has. He always will. Now, God doesn't promise he'll give us more than we need, but he is the bread giver, and we can trust him to provide what we need as a church, as individuals. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the bread giver. Second, Jesus, the storm calmer. Jesus, the storm calmer. Jesus sends the disciples off ahead in the boat. He sends the crowd away. And then verse 23, he goes up on a mountainside to pray. And we're reminded, aren't we, that in his human nature, even Jesus, God the Son, depended on his heavenly Father. And if he needed to pray to enjoy fellowship with his Father and guidance for where to go, how much more do we? Do you pray daily? You don't have to be able to pray clever prayers. You just have to sit down and talk to your heavenly Father. Thank him. Say sorry. Bring your request to him. Do you come to him before you have big decisions to make? Do you cry out to him to lead you? But then the scene switches to the disciples in the boat, verse 24. The boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And we're reminded of the calming of the storm in chapter 8, when there was a furious storm and yet Jesus calmed it with a couple of words. Here they're just buffeted by the waves, but even that can be uncomfortable. It's been enough to send me to the side of the ship once or twice, if you understand my meaning. And yet by the time Jesus has come to them, verse 32, the wind has died down. Jesus is the bread giver. He's the storm calmer. And what an encouragement this is for us today. I'm aware of numbers of people in the church family who are facing storms at the moment. Most of us, if not all of us, are at least being buffeted by winds of challenge and change and uncertainty. And yet, this encourages us, doesn't it? We can look to Jesus, the storm calmer. And it encourages us that he could calm the storm just like that. And if he hasn't yet, well, he must be doing something in us or through us in the midst of the storm, just as he is in Peter, as we'll see in a moment. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the storm calmer. Picture ourselves in the boat, buffeted by the waves and the wind, yet being watched by Jesus, cared for. Let's be confident that as we pray to him, he will calm the storm at the right time when his work is done. Third, Jesus, the water walker. He's the bread giver, the storm calmer, and the water walker. And I do hope that we will, through this week, whatever we face this week, be able to remember these three pictures. Picture ourselves as the disciples in these three situations and see Jesus and what he has done and what he can do. So Jesus, the water walker, verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Now, over the years, there have been lots of people who have questioned the miracles in the life of Jesus. "That couldn't have happened," they say. And I guess this is one of the prime candidates, isn't it, for that kind of treatment. But we need to remember that Matthew was an eyewitness of these things. We need to see the disciples' initial response. "It's a ghost." They themselves don't believe it. And we need to realize the whole point of Matthew telling us this is to show us Jesus is God. No, we don't see this happening in normal life. But the one who made water and earth and atoms and molecules and wind, the one who parted the Red Sea for the Exodus, he can do this. The Jesus we worship and trust and cry to in times of need and opportunity, he is the water walker. But in this third episode, one of the disciples, Peter, comes front and center, verse 28. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Why does he say that? Well, first and foremost, I think, because he wants to be with Jesus and he wants to follow him where he is. And this is one of the first expressions of trust in Jesus in the gospel. And so, verse 29, Jesus says, "Come." And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" With his eyes fixed on Jesus, his confidence in him, remarkably, Peter walks on the water. Jesus enables him to do what he himself is doing. But then he realizes the situation he's in. He wakes up to reality, the way things usually are. He sees the wind and the waves. He realizes he should be sinking, and if he sinks, he'll just be another lifeless body claimed by the cruel waters of the sea, and he panics. But he cries out, "Lord, save me. Now I'm in trouble. I've gone too far. Help me." And so, verse 31, Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed in the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And of course they did. He's the bread giver. He's the storm calmer. He's the water walker. Why wouldn't we worship him with our mouths, with our hearts, with our whole lives? Why wouldn't we trust him, whatever situation we find ourselves in? Well, what are we to take away from this episode with Peter? I don't recommend going along to the Humber and seeing if you can try this out. But I do think that those over the years who've used this as a model for discipleship are absolutely right. Matthew wants us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the bread giver, the storm calmer, the water walker. As Peter fixes his eyes on Jesus, he does something remarkable, something humanly impossible. When he takes his eyes off Jesus, when he focuses more on the circumstances around him, he begins to sink. But even then, notice, Jesus saves him. And I don't know about you, but this is my experience. When I have a big view of Jesus, who he really is, when I'm trusting him as the bread giver, the storm calmer, the water walker, anything is possible. I can attempt great things. I can trust him in the hardest circumstance. But as soon as I take my eyes off him, as soon as I look at the situation, I begin to sink. But even then, as I cry out, "Lord, save me," he does. We face great challenges as a church family. Here are a few that I jotted down. So there's the ending of the 11:30 service next Sunday that we've been hearing about, a service and a group of people that we will give great thanks to God for, but there's no doubt it'll leave a hole. That group of people over the years have served remarkably at St. Mark's in particular. We'll need others to serve as they've done. And I guess we'll be looking particularly to the 4 o'clock service for that. There's the fact that our regular giving as a church is currently falling as generous givers have died or are no longer able to be with us because they're at housebound. There's the 15,000 of the Anderby communities who desperately need to know Jesus, not to mention the 256,000 within the city boundary. And then there are the deeper challenges of changes afoot in the Church of England and the collapse of culture in our society. I was at a conference with Don last week called The Collapse of Culture. That's what we're facing. Do ask us about it. We'd love to talk more. We face great challenges as a church family. We face challenges as individuals. You'll know what you're facing at work or in your family or your personal life. Not to mention each of us seeking God as to what he's calling us to do. Yes, we face great challenges, and when we look at the challenges, we sink, don't we? But when we look at Jesus, the bread giver, the storm calmer, the water walker, then we can stand, and we can walk, and we can advance. Towards the end of this conference I mentioned, pulling everything together, the speakers were asked, how optimistic should we be about the future? And one of the speakers was a guy called Pastor Abe Amuba, a larger-than-life figure, a pastor from a black Pentecostal church in London. He's recently received an MBE, as it happens, for the social and Christian action work he's done among young people in London. And his answer was, I'm always confident. As a child of God who understands the size of God, let me say that again, as a child of God who understands the size of God, the size of the devil is manageable. So let me ask you, as I ask myself, have you grasped the size of God? Do you believe, do you see that Jesus is the bread giver? He's the storm calmer, he's the water walker. And yes, we need to be reminded regularly. Maybe this week we could, as I said earlier, think about these three things, these three episodes, and fix our eyes on him. But just in the last 2 minutes, notice that Jesus takes the Peter takes the initiative. He steps out. And numbers of us are very busy, some of us perhaps too busy, but it may be there's someone here, one or two, who just wonder if God is calling them to do something. Maybe you've got some free time on your hands. Maybe you've got a vision for something you'd like to do to serve the community, something you'd like to develop at work. And if that's the case, I encourage you to step out of the boat, like Peter, with your eyes fixed on Jesus. Step out of the boat and give it a try. Someone said to me the other day, they wondered if some people at church feel held back by the church leadership, thinking if the leadership haven't told you to do it, you can't do it. Can I say nothing could be further from the truth? I long for lots of things to be going on in the community, people serving others and sharing their faith as they have opportunity. And if you've got time on your hands but you're not sure what to do, why not come along to the Leadership Day on the 9th of February? There'll be details about it in the notice sheet next week. We'll be talking about ways in which we can be sending disciples to bless the Anderby communities. Do join us, whether you consider yourself to be in leadership or not. So Jesus, the bread giver, the storm calmer, the water walker. I hope we can see that following him does not require us to be superhuman or super spiritual or super special. The disciples did nothing special. All they did was fix their eyes on Jesus and follow what he told them to do. We can all do that, can't we? Let's just have a pause as we reflect on what we've heard. Maybe one thing to take away. And then I'll lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus, some of us will feel as though we're in the middle of a storm. Some of us will be wondering where your provision is going to come from, personally or as a church. Some of us will see an opportunity and are just wondering whether we should get out of the boat. Maybe some of us are in all three at the same time. Please help us. Help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to stand with the disciples, to see you, the bread giver, the storm calmer, the water walker. Help us to trust you in the storm. Help us to trust you to provide. Help us to get out of the boat. Amen.